Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Welcome to the 100th episode of this silly little podcast, Music and Booze with Mo. Thank you for being here and listening. And I have to say that when I was thinking about doing this podcast, I was talking with a girlfriend who works in the music industry, and we both were saying, if I do this podcast, you have to have this particular guest, and that particular guest was Greg Dooley, because she works with Greg. Greg has been a friend of mine for a long time, and he happens to be a partner in several bars. Greg Dooley is otherwise known as the frontman of the band The Afghan Whigs, also the Twilight Singers. Very much a well-established musician out there in the world. And, like I said, he owns a whole bunch of bars. So he's pretty much the epitome of what this podcast is all about, and one of the first people I ever considered, if not the first person I ever considered, to be a guest on this show. Of course, it took 4 years and a pandemic and stuff, but we finally got around to doing it. So here is me and Greg sitting around shooting the shit, mostly about bars and sometimes about music as well. When I was talking to Rinda about this, you were one of the, she's like, and you have to interview Greg. And I'm like, well, yeah, he's one of the people I know who is a music person and is also a bar person. You know, you were one of the first people I know who went into that world and everything. So introduce yourself.
Well, I think we all went into that world well before we became proprietors. I'm Greg Dooley.
Hi, Greg.
You're listening to Mo's podcast.
You don't have to do that.
I'll do whatever I want.
You can do whatever you want. But I want you to tell everybody.
It's casual Sunday.
What are all the bars that you are a part of at this time?
In order, the bars that I own shares in are the Shortstop in Echo Park, Footsie's in Cypress Park, the R Bar and the Royal Street Inn in New Orleans. Bud Rips in the Bywater of New Orleans. And Club TG in Atwater Village, Los Angeles, California.
And these are all wonderful neighborhood bars, all of them. They have such amazing identities, I think.
They're all neighborhood bars. They're all like they all have the same name that they did before we bought it. You know, like it's, they were all bars that I went to before I had an ownership in them. And, but like we were talking about earlier, like when you have like an owner, when you have a relationship with a bar that you like, for instance, like, we were talking about the R Bar, mm-hmm. it being the bar that I knew the best of all of the bars that I would eventually co-own. But that was my hang when I was making the first Twilight Singers record and what was at that time the final Afghan Whigs record. So I was down there for 2 years, and that me and Steve Myers went there like at least 5 nights a week. You know what I mean? And we'd shoot pool and we'd listen to music and you just, you know, hang out and have a good time. It was just a great meeting place, a great vibe in there. And that's really, that's how you make a successful bar. You make a place where, you know, people feel comfortable drinking. You give them nice options to drink. You give them good music to listen to. And, you know, and then you get out of the way.
Well, how did you get into having a bar in the first place? I know we've talked about the early days of the Shorty, but I don't know how it came to be in
Charles
your business.
Gagne, my friend of over 30 years, he knew these guys that were going to try to buy the Shortstop, and was I interested, and I went to this meeting and there were like 10 dudes and I was like, oh. and nice guys too. Yeah. So it wasn't like, you know, but there's just like way too many people and I'm like, and I don't know any of these people. Mm-hmm. And I know Charles, that's it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I backed off. And then he called back and he said, if you went in, you would be one of six. And I was like, that's a little more doable. So, and you know, I think we all put in, I don't know, 15 grand, 20 grand, something like that.
And how did you get the Shortstop so cheap? I mean it's
because we got it 20 odd years ago.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess, like, that's true. Because, you know, I mean, it's in Echo Park, which is super hip now, but
yeah, it was, there was, Echo Park was
a little grittier.
It was.
Wasn't that bar though? Like, was it a cop bar?
It was a cop bar. It was a cop bar, but mm-hmm. in the middle of like you know, like gang culture. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, those are two things that, you know, a lot of people don't want to get mixed up in. You know what I mean?
And you guys were like, let us in.
Crossfire. But but Charles and I would go there and shoot pool before we owned it because we lived in Echo Park. And, you know, and a lot of times you'd go there and it wasn't very crowded, you know, and if it was like filled with cops and it was, you know, like a lot of bad music going on the jukebox there, you'd just split like any place in the mm-hmm. world, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, when we took over the Shortstop and then, you know, they had this room, big room off to the side that the cops were using to like play, you know, what's foosball mm-hmm. and electric darts and, you know, just stuff that we weren't going to continue. And we were like, oh, wow, there's a drop ceiling in there. We blew out the drop ceiling. And all of a sudden it became kind of like, I'm like, man, this would be a great like dance room, you know? And to have a dance room in just a neighborhood bar, but like literally like have like, you know, essentially a neighborhood disco. Mm-hmm. And we didn't charge to get in, not at first, you know. It became cool because Charles and I DJed. We DJed all the time. You DJed.
I DJed. I still say one of my favorite DJ gigs I ever did was at the Short Stack.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've had so many just badasses come through and and DJ there. I mean, I was like hanging with Muggs back in the early 2000s. Muggs used to come DJ. Lance Rock, of course, who was like, you know,
he was best DJ, one of the best DJs.
Phenomenal, you know, like Howie Pyro DJ there, you know, Mike B, Jason Mason, and Ed Ruscha, who were phenomenal as well.
And when you guys first took it over, didn't you get behind the bar too?
I bartended. I bartended. I co-managed.
Yeah. So,
you know,
see, I never got to pop in there when you were bartending. I think I moved to LA after you'd stopped doing that.
Well, here's my, like, I'll tell you, here was my bartending. Here's, if I was bartending you, this is how it went. That we don't do stupid drinks.
Which means,
here's what, you either want a beer or you tell me within two ingredients what you want in your drink. Blank and blank. We'll do that all day long. You know what I mean? Because you're telling me, you're essentially telling me how to make it. And that, now I know, you know. So the blank and blank was my specialty. And you know, and I could pour a beer and you know, knew how to angle that and stuff. But I did, you know, I did all right. I got some good tips.
What got you behind the bar in the first place?
Well, we were just trying to, I wanted to get to know the business I was in, and I had at that point, like, I was like
super smart.
I was not really. I had no plans to like tour or make another album in any kind of like. I wasn't in a hurry to do music, and I was looking for just to like calm down for a while. But I wanted to know how the bar worked.
Yeah.
And working there was going to help me do that, and it did help me do that, and it gave me a good understanding and a foundation on how to, you know, continue on and keep doing it. And, you know, I mean, all, you know, thankfully, all of the bars that I, that, you know, that we do, they've been successful.
And also probably didn't hurt, as Echo Park was this, you know, up and coming hipster area, to have Greg Dooley behind the bar. I mean, I'm sure there were some people who came for that too.
You know, maybe back then, but there's plenty of new people there. A lot of people came through the Shortstop. Like a lot of famous people. Like it was like Itville for a couple years. You know. But like anything like that, it's not sustainable, and you don't want it to be, because, you know, I mean, like anybody who's been in any kind of public venture, like, you know, the public is fickle.
Am I remembering correctly, but did a member of your family own a bar? Like, did your uncle have a bar or something like that?
Yes.
I felt like there was a bar, there's a bar history with you guys.
I had two different uncles who owned bars. My Uncle Bob owned a bar. My Uncle Bud owned a bar. And
that was back in Ohio?
Back in Ohio. And those were bars from, they were 60s and 70s, early 70s.
Did you ever get to go into them?
Oh, of course.
I was going to say, when you were a kid, just sitting on mom's knee, right?
Or I'd go with my dad, or I would go like with, you know, one of my cousins. But there was, one was called Dooley's Tap Room, and that was on High Street. And then there was Sportsman's Tavern, which was on Dixie Highway or Route 4. as they say. And but like, you know, cool, like, you know, pool table bars, had some bar food, always had sports on the TV, and and, you know, they were cool. And I, you know, I mean, I became, you know, very aware of like the, you know, the community aspect of it, you know, like people, neighborhood bars, you know, I mean, you know, in a town like LA, you're going to need them to become slightly destination-ish because mm-hmm. we're all so spread out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when people in a neighborhood, like, that's their bar, or they go there because they can walk there, they can walk home, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or it's a short trip. So, you know, these kind of families build up inside the bars, and in you know, you get to experience that along with it. And then, you know, honestly, like sometimes, you know, I'll be like gone from someplace so long. I just went back to New Orleans, and you know, there were a bunch of people, you know, working like at Bud Rips, who really nice people, but I'd never met them before.
Yeah.
But you watching their interactions with the clientele, like clearly they had a thing going, and that's the perpetual wheel of any kind of, like, you know, neighborhood establishment.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think I see one of the kind of the links I see in that bar community and music is, you know, the there's a band, there's a fan community, there's all this stuff. It's about creating these communities.
Sure.
And that's kind of the love that I have for both of them, is fandom, when it's not kooky and weird, you know?
Right.
Just that fandom, or even just musicianship, or and the support that can come within that, and how you find these similar sorts of things in the bar world, like in neighborhood bars. I love that.
Well, you
feeling.
Also find them in, like, venues. Yeah. When you're, you know, when we first started, like, you know, touring America, for instance, we were playing
this
in
is
bars.
Early Afghan Whigs days.
Early yeah. Afghan, mm-hmm. or Black Republicans, even, like the band before that. Mm-hmm. Like we were playing neighborhood bars, like not even like concert venues, but just like, you know, a bar where you like set up on the floor and, you know, fucking let it rip. And, but those, you know, I mean, I could name you a bunch of neighborhood bars that we played at, like coming up, and that's, you know, you get your chops, you pay your dues,
yeah.
and you have a lot of fun, and you meet cool people, and, like, you know, I'm friends with people that I met from back then, you know, like in particular, let's say, like, Joe Shanahan in Chicago, mm-hmm. you know, where we used to go up and play Thursday nights. They had this thing called Rock Against Depression, and there was, like, four or five bands every Thursday night, and we got invited to go up there, and, like, you know, I mean, it was, you know, sometimes it was good, sometimes, but, like, as it started, I remembered, like, the gang who worked there, the gang mm-hmm. who enjoyed it, and,
yeah.
and all that, and there was the Uptown in Minneapolis that was, again, you know, served food, and then you'd play after dinner, basically, and it was wild.
I remember
know?
I used to go see bands play when I lived in the Bay Area still. Those kind of places, some
yeah.
bar.
Yeah.
And well, afterwards,
Covered Wagon.
Totally.
I-Beam.
Kilowatt. Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Kilowatt was that was later 90s. I remember seeing. I think
Kennel
I
Club,
saw you guys at the I-Beam. Yeah. But those are places where afterwards you're just loading up and everybody's kind of around and you're talking to the people who came to see you. And I had a roommate, she and I had, if we'd talk to bands sometimes, and if they were staying near us, we're like, come over, we'll make you breakfast.
Yeah, sure.
Because that was the kind of thing, you know, in some worlds they're like, oh, groupies. We're like, no, we just know that these guys, could be guys and gals, haven't had a real meal.
Yeah.
Probably in, like, a couple weeks. They've been eating like gas station food.
Well,
you know?
I'll tell you, like, when we were touring early on, like, I would at some point from the stage, I'd be like, hey, we don't have a place to sleep tonight.
If
we could sleep at your house, could you come yeah. let us know? And every fucking time someone would let us stay at their house. Mm-hmm. That's community,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's like, you know, meeting people from, you're not from this town. They're going to, like, and man, like, I have lifelong friendships from stuff like that, mm-hmm. too. If somebody mm-hmm. let me stay at their house, mm-hmm. I still know these people.
Yeah.
You know, and you remember, like, we're playing in a bar. So it's, you know, like, when the opportunity came for me to, like, express myself in that way, like, you know, I had a fucking pedigree at that point. You know?
was the shortstop. Because I remember when you guys got footsies, there was that, isn't there like that trap door? We found that whole secret downstairs area that had all that.
Store, it was a storeroom down there.
Yeah, storeroom, but nobody had been in there for a while, right? And I just remember like, I just kind of the growing up sort of as a bar owner for you. Like, you know, the shortstop was, that was a party scene, I remember.
Oh, man.
We had so much fun. I mean, I had some fun in that bar with you. I know. We had so much fun there.
At Shortstop?
At Shortstop.
Oh, man. Fucking, it was.
Yeah.
Fucking legendary. Like, just, I mean, just absolutely some of the wildest fucking wildness of all time. And, I mean, you know, you kind of have to, you know what I mean? Like,
good times. Yeah. But, you know, now time has gone by. You've got a lot more. I'm sure each bar, as you've opened a new one with your partners, has a new identity, lessons learned, all of that. So what is each bar like now?
Well, I mean, they're all different. They're all, you know, they're all kind of like, I have different groups of partners in all of them. Mm. There's like somebody who's not in one, but is in the other, or is in four of the others. The only, Dave Newpert is the person who I have all five in common with. And he's got 10.
Yeah, I know. I can't keep track of how many bars so, you pass.
you know, he's figured it out. And is doing quite well for himself.
Well, you already told me which one is your favorite. you gotta pick a kid sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was telling you that like someone asked Noop and I at TG, and we both answered the R bar at the same time, and as I stated earlier, like, you know, having had that time where the R bar was my bar, where my hang, my neighborhood bar, where, you know, again, I'm friends with people from back then, like to this very day. Mm-hmm. And I was actually kicked out of the R bar.
What did you do?
It was something really stupid by like a guy who was like drunk with power. And I went around him and
got, not the move.
I got unbanned. And then I'll tell you what, when we signed the lease, I was like, that's right, bitch. Don't kick me out of here now. You know what I mean? Check me out.
I have a question for you about the R bar, and it is the barber's chair.
Yep.
Has that always been there?
Yeah.
Right when you walk in the door, there's a barber's chair in the middle.
It was always there, but if I'm being honest, like, first of all, like, my friend Corey, like, stole it a couple times. And
it went
missing, but, like, it became pretty easy because it, like, has oil in it because it moves, mm-hmm. moving parts. Mm-hmm. And it dumped, like, a can of oil in the back of his SUV. And I was like,
you're like, I guess it's like blood on the scene or something like that.
Yeah.
And what was, why
play,
did...
Play stupid games.
Why did he steal it? Just to mess with you?
Play stupid games. And
for a while, weren't you guys actually giving people haircuts in there?
We do.
Still?
Yeah. But what I was gonna say is it's not the, it is a different chair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a better chair.
Is it?
That old chair sucked.
I haven't sat in it for a little bit.
And we got like fully like baller chair in there. Yeah. But we still cut hair in there.
Oh.
Beer and a shot.
Beer, so.
Cutting a beer and a shot. I think. I don't know.
Who cuts the hair?
I forget. There's been a couple different ladies there, but I've had my hair cut there by at least three different people.
Yeah. And then the other R bar thing, I don't know if it's still going on. I believe it was like Friday food. There's like a
Friday,
chef.
Friday, Red and Roberto, old friends that met at the R bar.
Yeah.
Because Roberto lives in the Quarter and Red lives in Metairie, which is outside of town. You know where Metairie is. over by Mississippi. And now we just leave the cooking truck there. Like, it's just permanently parked there. But Red does shrimp, crawfish. Roberto does tacos and Mexican food and stuff. And
I swear I had a
Red does jambalaya as well. They've roasted pigs and stuff there. I mean, those guys are fucking superstars. And again, it brings out that, like, you know, like, family reunion. Mm-hmm. Everybody standing out on the street, listening to music, talking to each other. Mm-hmm. What have you been doing? I haven't seen you in a while. La, 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 la. And just eating good food. And it's like, it's fabulous, man. Like, that kind of like human interaction. It's like, it's, you can't beat it. It's phenomenal. And I just love to be around energy like that.
Did they just start doing that? Did they say, hey, can we come here on Fridays?
I forget who, like,
it's so great.
I know that Bailey had a relationship with Red. Roberto was a regular at the bar.
Yeah.
And then I forget, like, you know, I mean, again, we're talking like 15 years. So, like, mm-hmm. at a certain point, like, Roberto and Red started, like, just being, like, thick as thieves and, like, super good buddies. And then they started, like, you know, integrating Roberto's, his Mexican food knowledge.
And, yeah. Just making sure it's good.
And, yeah, man. So, like, you know, the food aspect there, we've also had, like, other trucks come by. We do trucks and people set up and do, like, a lot of vegan food down at Bud Rips, and that does really well, too. Like,
I think the first time that I went to Bud Rips, gosh, was it 2018? When did you guys take over Bud Rips?
Bud Rips was 2012.
2012?
Yeah.
Okay. So, gosh, it must have been sooner than that then. I remember going there, or 2016 11. Or something. But Rips had kind of a bit of a seedy past too, didn't it? Can you tell me that the old owner was, like, not the nicest person?
They had a reputation of being not, like, shall we say, inclusive.
Yes.
And that, you know. I'll put it to you this way: that when we took over Bud Rips, we hung a large photograph of the great Johnny Jenkins in a very prominent spot in the bar to let everyone know that
everyone was welcome.
We welcomed everyone. Mm-hmm. You know.
And the first time I went there, I remember that it was in July. So it was a very muggy, hot day. I remember right. I went there like probably around 4 in the afternoon or something like that. So everyone's just sweating, right? Mm-hmm. And there were people sitting out front on the sidewalks in like the real low kind of lawn chairs.
Right, sure.
Yeah, just sitting out front, like snacking on food with a drink.
Uh-huh.
And then people inside as well. I think there were a lot of people inside, but a lot of people sitting outside. And I remember I had a Lyft or something dropping me off. And I get out, and this woman was like, she goes out, and she's like, you got a real pretty dress on. I was all, thank you. And she goes, that dress is too nice if you're going in there. And she was sitting right out front. And I just started laughing, and she just started laughing. And then she's like, you have a good time. And I was all, I love you already. Come inside with me, you know. But she was just sitting outside drinking her beer,
right.
You know. And I remember thinking, is she the greeter? But I was wearing a nice dress. But right. It was just that it was, to me, it was just this friendly vibe. It was just people were hanging out, sitting outside. Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Well, I mean, the thing about New Orleans is, you know, I mean, a familiar greeting you'll get from them mm-hmm. is welcome home when they see you.
You hear welcome home and welcome in.
Yeah, welcome home. Once I started getting welcome home, you know, I was like, I knew I was like, that's why I have a large, you know, New Orleans family, mm-hmm. like of people that I love and get to, you know, see. I mean, I have, there's a, you know, it's an alternate life for me down there and one that I like slip into and feel instantly comfortable and I just love being there and I love hanging out at both the bars and people that work there and run the bars are all super cool too. It's just,
I walk through the fire and I fly through the smoke. I want to see my enemies on the end of my rope. I walk on pins and needles and I see what they can do. Walk on Guinness plunder with the king of the zoo. Come, 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 walk on Guinness plunder. Come, 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 walk on Guinness plunder.
You said alternate life in terms of New Orleans, but that's like...
Parallel life.
Parallel
is what I should have said.
Maybe. Yeah. The city, the two cities, but then you also have kind of two careers, you know, as a working musician, mm-hmm. and a, you know, a very successful working musician, and also...
I haven't worked as a musician on stage in, like, over 1,000 days.
You're still working,
but
though.
I am, but
you
I,
are creating.
But I am creating.
And maybe I shouldn't be calling it work, then.
No, you can call it. Trust me, I work very hard on.
Yeah, and on so, these but things. You have the dual. You're a you know a bar owner, because I know that you're involved, even if you're not.
I'm a master of duality.
But do you feel like you have kind of two parallel, like careers as well, because of this? Or does it just feel like two things that you do that you really enjoy?
It just feels like two. I mean, I just feel like I have a really beautiful life that I enjoy interacting with. Like, I feel, you know,
I'm gonna say lucky.
Fortunate. More than lucky, you know, like, I mean...
You've worked really hard to get to this
you
place.
Know, I mean, people have luck come at them all the time and don't... Unless you know what to do with the luck, then it's dumb luck. You know? And there's nothing wrong with that because I've been the recipient and deliverer of both of them. And but I feel fortunate, and I feel grateful, mm-hmm. and because I love the people that I own the bars with. They're my family, and I love creating new things. You know, like it's you know, transforming TG was such a, you know, I mean. We went way back to the 40s to like and found pictures and kind of restored
that bar is so beautiful. What you guys did with that bar is so fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. You know, we did it. We did the patio at TG, and I mean, that's my favorite.
I haven't been to the patio yet.
Oh, we'll go.
Yeah. Oh, we're totally going. Yeah, okay. We have to go. Yeah, I love TG, and I wanted to go for the dance party a couple weeks ago, but yeah. I'm still not quite comfortable. Dancing
well,
in
then,
the crowd
then, and I understand that, but let's go there and sit on the patio.
I'm like, down. I am totally
know,
down.
You know, we created it's a vibe.
Yeah.
It's a cool vibe out there.
I love it. So, okay, questions I always ask, and I don't know if you've had the opportunity to do this. Have you ever created a cocktail that's gone on any of your menus? I know you appreciate a fine cocktail, but that's, we go out and have those,
right.
You know, the neighborhood bars are a little different and everything, but have you ever... You love, you know, you love this stuff.
I have, you know, honestly, like, I don't.
Mm. You're like me. We do that for ourselves at home.
Yeah.
Or for our friends at home.
Yeah. You know, like, we have, like at TG, for instance, Nico, who runs the bar for us. I mean, Nico is just such a, like... You know, he's an alchemist. He's really into, you know, practices them at home and, you know, like comes by, you know, if you come by, you're like, hey, will you try this? And it's really cool to, like, watch somebody who has, like, I mean, that dude's got serious game. You know what I mean? And he's made like some really banging cocktails. Heather at the R Bar, like just a magician with booze. You know, like she's. We just let her do her thing. Like, you know, Heather doesn't need direction. I've thrown ideas. I'm like, hey, I like this stuff. I like spicy tequila drinks. What do you got? She's like, how about if I throw some basil in there? I'm like, why not? Let's do it.
I think I had a basil drink. Is there like a basil lemon something at the
It's like a basil jalapeno kind of.
Well, you know me, I'm the bad Latina. Frosty
drink.
Yeah, I can't do the spicy, but I had something there that had basil in it. I remember because it was yummy and it was tequila based because I like you like the agaves. So that's yummy. You know, when I do these interviews. Especially when I talk to musicians, I always do the, when did you first pick up your instrument of choice, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like you've answered those questions so many times.
What instrument do you want to?
I don't know. Well, okay. I feel like we have to do just a little bit of it for this.
Okay.
What was your first instrument?
Drums.
Was it the drums?
Yeah.
All these years I've known you, and I never knew it was the drums. Yeah. Why was it the drums?
Because this dude David Bunn had a drum set. I never had a drum set, but I would go to David Bunn's house all the time and play drums, and I loved it.
And did you play drums because he had a drum set, or was there like
I love drums. No, I love drums. I wasn't really into that. I loved keeping beats, and I loved like kind of like, you know, not great. Mm-hmm. It's what I, you know, here's what I say about most instruments. I'm like, they're like, you know, somebody will be like, hey, you're a good drummer, and I'm like, I'm not a drummer. I play drums, but I'm not a drummer. You know what I mean? Fucking drummers, like, drummers are so badass and can do things that I just can't
do. What's a drum solo you wish you could play?
I'm not really super into drum solos.
Okay. If you could play drums on a song, what song would it be? Do you know?
Something hard?
Well, it doesn't have to be hard. Just like, if someone was like, hey, you want to play drums on this track? And you're like, fuck yeah.
But that would suggest that the song has already been played. I'll tell you a song a couple songs that I enjoy playing where I have played on stage. I've played drums to The Rover by Led Zeppelin, and I've played drums to Brain by The Action.
The Action, really?
Yeah. And I sang and played both songs. So I was singing and drumming at the same time. Hang your brain, I'll be the sky. Hang it high. Remember me. Cause I'm the one made you see. My next instrument was guitar, and I was 19 when I played guitar. Kind of late.
Really?
A little bit late in the game there.
That does seem late in the game.
But, you know.
Because you were,
Quick study.
Yeah, no shit.
You know.
What about piano? When were you? When did
piano,
you
I just, I taught myself along the way. I can tell you that I was, the first time I'm on record playing piano is like congregation probably, so. That's about 5 or 6 years into the band. And then, like, I realized that I wrote Faded on piano. I don't play it on the record, but I wrote it on piano.
How old were you when you were like, I'm going to do music? That's what it's going to be.
Probably 19, probably like really? When I started playing guitar, where I was like kind of, because I'll tell you what, I loved the fact that I could be part of a collaborative group, but I could also create an autonomy in the process, you know, where I, I could write the movie. I could film the movie. I could play the part in the movie. I could be whatever I wanted to be.
Well, I remember you telling me that's kind of like really when you got to Twilight Singers phase, that you were like, Twilight Singers is me, and I surround myself.
Yeah,
with
that was that like project. Well, and that really kind of set me free, because like when you're, you know, people like when bands stick together, they do.
Yeah.
And honestly, when I was young, I did too. And when someone that I in a band I loved, I'm like, what's wrong with you people? You know what I mean? Like, you gotta, you know, it's just, it's really weird until you're in a band with people that you don't want to be in a band with anymore, you know? Like, and that's why things like divorce were invented, you know?
Yeah,
where you're like, hey man, whatever I loved about this, I don't love anymore. And this person doesn't love it anymore either. Hey, you know, it doesn't have to be ugly or sucky or terrible or anything.
And we've
like
seen that happen in the bar world too.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
partnerships. Sometimes they dissolve.
Sometimes you don't, sometimes you're just like, you know, you're just with people for a period of time, and that's.
And what comes from it comes from.
And that's that. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, you know, I just kept playing instruments, you know. I'm like, when no one was around, I'm like, oh, I need to make up a song. It needs a bass. I can play bass. You know, am I the greatest bass player? I'm not. But can I...
get the point across?
Can I trick you into thinking I am? Absolutely. Especially with Pro Tools. You know what I mean?
So you guys are working on stuff now. And,
yes.
And you know, okay, I'm going to say we actually talked about doing this podcast just before the pandemic and then ran out of time because you were about to hit the road on tour for your first official solo album.
Uh-huh.
So that's out there in the world. So this is a reminder to anyone if they haven't heard that there is a Greg Dooley solo album.
That was such a, like, it was such a, like, hey! Oh no. Fuck.
And that's the thing too, is that it seemed like for decades people were like, hey, you ever going to do a solo album? You got a solo album in you? Because there was Amber Headlights, but that was kind of more of a cult.
Pervy's got his.
I'm like, is there a bird in your house? Is that a cat toy?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a catnip toy.
Pervy has made his presence known. Hey, Pervis. Oh, sorry.
Pervy's speedballing.
But yeah, it was like, you know, people wanted you to make a solo album for so long, and you kind of gave this like odds and ends collection of under your own name.
Oh, right.
You know, when you did Amber Headlights.
Of Amber Headlights.
Yeah, stuff that you kind of thrown on at B-sides or whatever, but you're like, okay, now
that was the big controversy, because like, how dare you call this year, and I'm like, well, now wait a minute, motherfucker. Let's back up and look at this for a second, you know? First of all, those were a bunch of songs that I already did. I didn't set off to do, like, this is going to be a Greg Dooley album. It was not. It was going to be a Twilight Singers record. And then my friend died, and I ended up doing a different group of songs. Mm-hmm. And so Random Desire was... it was thought up as I'm going to make a solo album, and this—that's what it's going to be, and that's why it is purely that, and I love it, and I'm sorry I didn't get to play it. I did perform it at the at Gold Diggers at the
And actually, I've been meaning to ask you, is that ever going to be made available for
people? I think
people?
So, yeah. Yeah. I think.
There was, so anyone who doesn't know, this summer you did a performance at Gold Diggers, a bar owned by our friends.
Right. I did two shows.
Mm-hmm.
Two different shows.
Which was, it was you, one other player, and a bunch of mannequins?
Three mannequins.
Okay.
And me, mostly, and then my doctor played pedal steel and stand-up bass.
from the other side of the stage, you know, very safely distanced during that time.
From behind, yeah.
Because that was in the summer of 2020 that you guys did that.
It was August of 2020. Yeah. And then about 3 weeks after I did that performance, I began to work on the new Afghan Wigs record. Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm.
And you almost got to go to Brooklyn to do the Random Desire show again. And then
two more.
Once again.
Delta variant.
Delta. One day you'll get to perform that album.
I don't think, probably not.
No.
But I will say that, you know, I mean, I will play a bunch of those songs on stage someday. Yeah. Maybe even on the Wigs tour, you know, like there's a couple songs. Everybody in the band is wants to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's a couple songs that would fit right in mm-hmm. with a wig show and, you know, probably make, you know. Make some people happy.
I think so.
including me.
Well, that might be a good spot to kind of wrap this up and everything.
Okay,
so
right.
I would say... if you can suggest a drink and a song or an album, you know, to anybody listening, say, have a sip of this. We're sitting here sipping some delicious tequila right now and listening mm-hmm. to a wonderful French radio station. You know, what would your advice be like? Tonight, you want to calm down, you want to chill out a little bit, drink a little of this, listen to a little of this. Anything come to mind?
I'm going to plug... Hold on.
He's got to pull up the... Oh, is this one of your many beautiful Spotify playlists?
Yeah, but I'm not going to give you a playlist to play. I'm gonna pick something.
I like my glass clinking. Nice old-fashioned clinking of tequila and ice.
Okay, so Dave Neupert, my business partner in all the bars, he turned me on to this wonderful vermouth called Vermina Vermouth.
Okay.
And you drink it on the rocks.
Is it a sweet or is it a dry?
Orange rind. It's sort of. It's not either really. It's, it's really unique.
Okay.
And I would if I were going to do that on like sort of like toward the end of fall, it's a refreshing drink, and I would say to listen to the new Jose Gonzalez album called Local Valley. He's
always had a soft spot for that voice.
He's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I love his music. This record is fantastic, and that's my suggestion.
All right, I'll take it. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
You know, during our music careers, Greg and I, they never crossed paths, but we always had the love of bars. And we go back, way back. And so much love, big love to Greg for being my 100th guest on this 100th episode of my little podcast. Thank you so much. I have so much love for that guy. And if you're ever in either New Orleans or Los Angeles, make sure that you check out those bars. Now you can find Greg and his bands on all the social media at Mr. Greg Dooley, at the Afghan Wigs, also the bars at Footsie's Bar. There's also the Shortstop, the first one, and Club TG, which I adore. Of course, I have a soft spot for the Shortstop since I DJed there in the past. And in New Orleans, you got R-Bar and Bud Rips, and R-Bar... definitely a magical place. They both are. Anyway, look all that stuff up. Visit them.
listen to the music, find Random Desire, Greg's solo album that came out in March of 2020. It is totally worth finding. And there's some beautiful drone footage of New Orleans in the initial lockdown that he's got on YouTube as one of the videos. Gorgeous stuff. Anyway, thank you, Greg. You rule. You rule. Big hugs. And thanks to all of you for listening. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SheBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.